Christ said, "You're my friends if you just do what I tell you and you keep my commandments." Wow, think about that. Well, I have enjoyed already, we're only on the first example in Hebrews chapter number 11 that Paul gave of someone who lived by faith, but I've already enjoyed it. But today, I'm looking forward to preaching this message. And Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 4. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 4. We looked at the first three verses that were introductory verses, and now Paul, starting in verse 4, is giving us some flesh and blood illustrations of what he taught us in the first three verses. And we'll read verse number 4 again. Hebrews 11:4. "By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he, being dead, yet speaketh." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for allowing us to get together in a nice place. And we thank you for heat, Lord, where we can come and we can be comfortable and hear the word of God. We thank you for all of your blessings. Lord, we pray this morning that you'd bless us as we preach through the message this morning. Help us, Lord, to just understand that through faith we can obtain a good report. And help us to want to live a life that will result in us obtaining a good report like all of these people did. In Jesus' name, amen. I mentioned that Abel, of course, he's the fourth human being that ever lived. There was Adam and Eve, then there was Cain, then there was Abel. So the first three illustrations that Paul uses about faith are three men that lived before the flood. There is Abel in verse 4, there's Enoch in verse 5, and there's Noah in verse 7. So what Paul is simply explaining to the Hebrew people, and by the way, this is called a general epistle because he wasn't necessarily writing to one church. He was writing to the Hebrew people in general. And what he is trying to show them is this: living by faith is not something new. It's not a new concept. It's not anything new. From before the flood, they understood that living by faith would result in obtaining a good report. And so that was very important to them to understand that. No matter if it was on the other side of the flood or this side of the flood, they all obtained a good report the same way. Now we've already looked at the premise for faith, and the premise being the foundation for faith. What was the foundation for Abel's faith? The Word of God. And then the piety for faith, or the worship of faith. We see that faith and worship go hand in hand. And the word worship means to honor. It means to revere God. It means to acknowledge that God is who he says he is. And that he is all powerful like he said he was. It's just us acknowledging that. Whether it be by praise and thanksgiving, or whether it be by a deed done that he has asked us to do. For example, we just received our tithes and offerings. And when we tithe, when we give offerings, what we are doing is acknowledging the fact that God said, "This is what I want you to do, and I will bless you for doing that." We're acknowledging that God is the one that said that, and we're acknowledging that if I will obey him, then he's going to bless me. And so what does that do? That honors the Lord. And so that is a way of worship. There's some people over the years that I've heard say, you know, "All you Baptist preachers do is preach on money." Well, that's not the truth. But the truth is, if the Lord does not have this, he doesn't have this right here. And the truth is, the Bible does speak a lot about money, doesn't it? Money is the root of all evil, right? And if we'll honor the Lord with what money we do have, then that is a way that we can worship the Lord. So we've looked at those two things. Now let's look at the price of faith. Not only the premise for faith, which is the Word of God, and the piety for faith, or the worship, but now the price of faith. It says there, "By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain." We're going to focus on the word sacrifice here for this lesson about faith. Abel's offering which was made by faith, was a sacrificial offering. That means it was a sacrifice. So when we think of a sacrifice, here's what we think of. That means it's going to cost you something. Right? It cost Abel something in order to worship God correctly. And so we need to understand that, hey, faith has a price. For example, we just took our tithes and offerings. For example, say you have, okay, for just by way of illustration, say you made $100 this week, okay? The tithe is 10%, okay? So, and I told somebody recently, when you're figuring out your budget, if you make $100, then don't figure out $100 you have to spend. You have $90 to spend. Because the first $10 is not even yours, that's the Lord's. So you got $90 left. Okay? So let's just say you made $100. And now if you've been saved a long time and you're used to tithing and you understand all this, this is not going to be a problem. But when you first get saved and you're trying to get your budget figured out, and boy, you look at it, and a lot of times, you know, people will say, well, I can't afford to tithe. I can barely afford to pay my bills, right? And so, but once they understand this biblical principle of faith, then it starts to make more sense. And by the way, you don't have to wait till something makes sense. When God says do it, just do it. And then God will help you to understand it. But if you made $100, okay, let's say you had diapers to buy for your kids. Let's just say you were raising kids and, you know, you just got saved and you want to do the right thing. And you make a certain amount of money, you already have a budget, most of it's all gone. Okay, you got diapers, you got formula, you got to feed the rest of your family and all of that. And then the baby gets sick. And let's just say you don't have good insurance, maybe you don't have any insurance, and it's going to cost you X amount of dollars to go to the doctor and get medicine, and that's going to take your whole $100. So here's the dilemma you face. If I only have $90 left, I'm not going to have enough to buy the medicine. I'm not going to have enough to do that. So should I go ahead and tithe, or should I go ahead and just spend the whole thing? Well, when you understand that there is a foundation for what we're doing, we're talking about tithing. The foundation is the Word of God. God said, you give me back my portion, 10%, and I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. So you can go ahead and write that check or put that $10 bill in there, and you can come to the Lord and say, dear God, I've done what you told me to do. I have obeyed your word. Now I'm asking you to do what you said that you would do, and I'm asking you to provide what we need. And you know what? God will come through every single time, because this is his word and we have his promise. And so faith, it looks to us like it might cost something. Actually, the truth is, if we'll live for the Lord by faith, it's going to pay many more dividends than what it actually cost. But the word here is sacrifice. So it did cost Abel something. When we, many times when we're talking about money, or, you know, we're talking about giving the Lord something, that's what we think about money. But we have time. We need to give the Lord our time, don't we? And sometimes we might have to sacrifice what we want to do or what we had planned on doing to make sure that we give the Lord his time. Now, we have 3 church services a week. Let's just use this as an illustration. If you came to Sunday school, which I would encourage you to do, and Sunday morning service, and Sunday night service, Wednesday night, that's about 4 hours a week. Okay, let's just take this principle of tithing, 10%. There's 168 hours in a week. If you just tithe off of your time, you'd give the Lord 16.8 hours. So if you came to every service we had, that's just 4. You'd owe the Lord 12.8 more hours, right? So what I'm saying is this. Involved in this worship and involved in our faith is going to be sacrifice. It's going to cost us something in order to please the Lord. We're not going to be able to do every single thing that, you know, this world has to offer. We're not going to be able to maybe go to every meeting or every, you know, theme park or every this or that in life, because we need to understand, hey, we got to put the Lord first. And that might involve some kind of a sacrifice. It did with Abel. But his sacrifice that he made was a result of his faith. And so I don't think that probably Abel looked at it and said, shucks, man, it's going to cost me a lamb if I do this. I don't think that was Abel's attitude. I think Abel's attitude was, I'm going to give him the very best. And we'll look at that in a minute. But Abel's offering was made by faith, and it was a sacrifice. Look back to Genesis chapter 4, if you would. This is where the story is found. Genesis chapter number 4. Genesis chapter number 4 and verse 4. The Bible says, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. You see that Abel's sacrifice was the best that he had. It says he brought of the firstlings of his flock. That represents the very best. The very best. The firstlings and the fat thereof. God deserves our best, doesn't he? And we ought to give the Lord the best that we have. He deserves it. By the way, God gave the best that he had for us. And that's the reason that we celebrate. I like Christmas season. I mean, I like it. And there's people have differences of opinion about different things, and that's okay. Thank the Lord we can all do that. But I personally like the lights and, presents and all that kind of stuff. It's not all about presents, but the presents, to me, is a representation of the greatest gift that God ever gave, the Lord Jesus Christ. To me, the green in a Christmas tree represents everlasting life. That those green trees, they're everlasting, and they're called, lots of them are called the, and I'm not a scientist, but I know there's different classifications of trees, but they're in the evergreens, and I know there's a name for that, but they're green year-round, which represents eternal life. We put up our tree. When was that? Friday night, wasn't it? Last night. Ooh, seems like a long time ago. That's just last night. And we actually had to go buy another little bitty tree because about 8 years ago we bought a pre-lit tree, and for the last several years the pre-lit part hadn't been lit when we come to put it together. And trying to figure out where those bulbs at will drive you mad. And I mean, ooh, man. It's just not worth it. So we went and just bought a little Christmas tree last night, and my wife was putting lights on there. And those lights, to me, just remind me of the light of the world, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not worshiping a tree, and I understand it's not all about that tree. But to me, it's just all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a wonderful time of the year where we can talk about the reason for the season. God gave a sacrifice. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. God gave of his best. So all of this simply says if you're going to worship God by faith, then it's going to cost us. It involves sacrifice. How about the premium of faith? Not only the precept of faith and the piety of faith and the price of faith, but the premium of faith. It says Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Here's what we know about faith. Faith does things with excellence. Do you remember, and maybe that it's still like this in some places, but I know at least it was like this, when unleaded gasoline first became real popular, you know, long time ago, they would have regular unleaded, and then you'd have premium unleaded. Maybe they still do that in some places. But the regular was just all right. The premium was the best. Faith is like premium. It's the best. He offered the best that he had. Faith specializes in the premium category. It does things the best. You see, when we give the Lord our tithes, that's the very first. We don't pay all of our bills and see if we got anything left and give the Lord a little token offering. We just tip the Lord a little bit. We give Him the best. It's a premium offering. And we learn in Genesis 4 that Cain and Abel both made offerings at the same time. And by the way, Cain's offering could have involved a sacrifice also, but it was the wrong kind. He was a tiller of the ground. So obviously he brought, and I would imagine that he brought the best of what he had done himself. But that wasn't good enough. That wasn't the way the Bible says to do it. Now we were in Genesis 4. If you're still there, we'll keep reading. If you're not, we'll go back there if you would. But let's read the first 10 verses of this. We read it last week, but let's look at it again. And Adam knew his, this is Genesis 4. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Now, the reason I said it could have been a sacrificial offering, it doesn't say that about it. But Cain might have sacrificed some of his, you know, the best that he had grown. It's a possibility. Verse 4, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now, we'll just stop right there. But they both made an offering, okay? Cain made an offering of the best that he had to offer. He was a tiller of the ground. I'm sure he brought some of the best that he grew. But our text says that Abel's offering was better than Cain's offering. Now, why was it better? It was better because it was a premium offering. It was done by faith, the Bible says in Hebrews 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. You see the faith in the offering there. We just read about that. By the way, doesn't say anything about faith being involved in Cain's offering. Doesn't say a thing about it. Because Cain's offering was not based on a divine precept or divine principle. Cain had no written word of God to base his offering upon. Abel did. You say, where is it found that Abel had a precept? Back in the very beginning of, well, chapter number 3, verse number 20, if you would. Verse number 20. It says there, and Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Verse 21, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. You see, they had sinned. They sewed fig leaves together to try to hide their nakedness, and it didn't work, did it? That was the best they could do. That was the best man had to offer. And then God made a sacrifice that involved killing an animal and the shedding of blood, and he took those skins and covered Adam and Eve. That's the precept there. That's the foundation that God laid. The only covering that's going to be sufficient in God's eyes is going to be one that involves the sacrifice of the shedding of blood. And so that's where I think Cain and Abel both understood that. But Cain didn't want to do it the way that God said to do it. Cain wanted to do it the way that he wanted to do it. I've said this before, but you can, I've heard this. You can boil all the religions in the world down to two. And that's one trying to get to God without the shedding of blood. And then there is the one that involves the shedding of blood. And they're represented right here. And we know that redemption is found only in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that for a fact. So Cain's offering was not made by faith. He had no divine revelation for his offering. This means that Cain was disobedient in his offering, while Abel was obedient. And we need to understand, obedience is far superior to disobedience. Obedience is faith. Disobedience is unbelief. People try to say this, and I'm sure you've heard this before. Well, you know, you're going your way, and I'm going my way, but all those ways lead to heaven. No, they don't. Jesus said, I am the way. Not one of the ways, the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is only one way to get to heaven, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see the faith in the offering. Then the finest in the offering. We've made mention of that. But Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. That speaks of the finest or the best. And then, related to the tithe here, Malachi chapter 3 is the chapter that many times immediately comes to our mind when we're talking about tithes and offerings. And the reason that God said that in Malachi chapter number 3 was because the nation of Israel was no longer doing what God told them to do in this area of tithes and offerings. So turn to Malachi chapter 1. We don't make reference much to Malachi chapter 1, but you can see the reason there why God said what he did in Malachi chapter 3. Malachi is the last book there in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter number 1 and verse number 13 says this. Malachi 1:13. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness it is, and ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? Then verse 14, but cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth, and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. You see, what they had done is this. They had got to the point where they were saving the best for themselves. And they were giving the Lord all of those, like if they had a lamb with a broken leg. Oh, he ain't worth much anyway. Let's give him to the Lord. We're going to keep the best for ourselves. The whole nation had done that. And so they were no longer offering the Lord the first fruits. They were no longer offering the Lord the first of all their increase. They were giving the Lord the leftovers. My father-in-law, Brother Jerry McDonald, is with the Lord, but he started at Calvary Boys Ranch about 39 years ago. And they still do, but they put out a monthly newsletter, and there's a lot of churches that have, you know, they really have a heart for young people and want to help young people and want to help men that are in trouble. So churches have, you know, they've donated things. They've had all kind of stuff donated to them. They've had food donated to them. They've had furniture. They've had horses. They've had all kind of stuff donated. And sometimes her dad would get a phone call and say, yeah, Brother Jerry, we are, we bought all new furniture and stuff, and we got some that, you know, doesn't look real good, doesn't work too good, the mattress smells bad, and, you know, the legs broke off the couch or something like that. Hey, but we thought of the church. Can you guys use that? You know, churches get all kinds of stuff donated, and a lot of it is junk. A lot of it is somebody's having a garage sale and nothing's any good anymore. We'll give that to the church. They can probably use it. Well, that's exactly what the nation had done. He said, the Lord said, you brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. And then he said, should I accept this of your hand? This is the Lord talking to the nation of Israel. You see, Abel's faith involved giving the Lord the best. Not Abel wasn't in this right here. Now, he wasn't alive right here. But he didn't offer the Lord the torn and the lame and the sick. Abel, the Bible very specifically says that he gave of the firstlings of his flock. That's the very, very best. So, the flock in the offering. Again, the very best. Cain gave the Lord, obviously, something that he had grown. Abel offered to the Lord the firstlings of his flock, which spoke of an animal sacrifice, not a sacrifice of the fruit of the ground. Again, it is a matter of obedience to God's precept that he had laid down. And thus, Abel did it God's way and Cain didn't. So that's why Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Now, we can also see the foreshadowment in the offering. In other words, this offering was a foreshadow of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the best of the flock. God spared none other than His best. And He sent the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't send an angel. He didn't call upon the best man alive at the time. He sent the very best that heaven had to offer. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And it involved the shedding of blood. If you will go, I'm going to show you some verses here. So look at Hebrews chapter number 9. We're in chapter 11 in Hebrews. But look at Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 22. One of the things that Paul does in the book of Hebrews is he shows how much better Jesus Christ is than anything that Judaism had to offer. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 22 says this, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood." And then look at this statement, "And without shedding of blood is no remission." There is no forgiveness of sins outside the shedding of the blood. People today, and people, liberals, and apostate churches, they say things like this, "Oh, you folks believe in that slaughterhouse religion stuff." Well, that's not what we call it, but what they're saying is that bloody religion. We don't want to have anything to do with that. We just want to offer the best of the ground. That's the Cain philosophy. But God rejected Cain and his offering, and God accepted Abel and his offering, because Abel's offering involved the shedding of blood. And God laid that foundation, He laid that precept down for Adam and Eve when He shed the blood of an animal and took those skins and clothed them. Look at 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 7. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 7. Excuse me, I'm sorry. That's a wonderful verse too, but chapter 1. 1 John 1 and verse 7. 1 John chapter 1 verse 7 says, "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." That's pretty plain, isn't it? People say, "That King James Bible, man, that thing's just so hard to understand." Explain to me what's hard to understand about that. Very easy to understand, right? The reason they change it is because they don't want to understand it, and they willfully don't believe it. Look at Romans chapter 5 and verse number 9. Romans chapter 5, verse number 9. And I'm going fast. If you can't find these verses, that's okay. Just listen. But Romans 5, 9 says this, "Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." A good way to understand that theological term justified is like this. Just if I'd never sinned, justified. We, in God's eyes, when we repent of our sin and invite Jesus Christ into our heart, when God looks at us, it is just if I'd never sinned. And that's because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's pretty plain, isn't it? The only way to be saved is through the blood. Revelation chapter number 13 and verse 8, if you want to turn over there. Revelation chapter 13 and verse number 8. It says this, Revelation 13, 8. "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him, whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb." Excuse me, "in the book of life of the Lamb." Now that's talking about Jesus Christ, the Lamb of the world. Look what it says. "Slain from the foundation of the world." There is a false theory that is taught in apostate theological seminaries, which there are some here, even in California and all around America. And one of the theories they teach is called the accidental death theory. And they say that the death of Christ was nothing more than an accident. He never saw it coming. He was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. According to this verse, He was slain from the foundation of the world. It was God's plan before God even laid the foundation of this world that Jesus Christ would come, He would hang on Calvary's cross and shed His blood, because that was the only way that sinners could be saved. And the Bible is full of verses about that. John chapter 1, verse 29 says, John the Baptist said, the Lamb of God, pointing to Jesus Christ, and said, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You see, Cain's offering does not foreshadow Christ at all. Because Cain's offering was nothing more than the best that he could do. There was no lamb involved in Cain's offering. There was no blood involved in Cain's offering. Hence, there was no foreshadowment of the Lord Jesus Christ. But faith brought the best offering, and faith was involved in Abel's offering, which was a foreshadow of the fact that Jesus Christ would come, and as the Lamb of God would die and shed his blood for the sins of the world. You see, Cain refused to come to God in worship through Jesus Christ. You say, how did they know about that? Because obviously God had told Adam and Eve about that, and Adam and Eve had told their sons about that, and that's how come Abel knew that an offering that would please the Lord would involve the shedding of blood. Cain is like the apostate churches. Now the apostate churches, they don't necessarily deny that God exists, but they do not acknowledge that Jesus Christ and his sacrifice and his shed blood on Calvary is the only way to be saved. The pastor of the largest church in America is Joel Osteen. And they run about like 30,000 down there. Two times when Larry King had his show for years and years and years and interviewed people, you can go look at it online if you don't believe me. Two times Larry King asked Joel Osteen, is Jesus Christ the only way to go to heaven? And two times Joel Osteen refused to answer the question with a yes or no. He just hem-hawed around. See, apostate churches, they don't deny God exists, but they deny that salvation is only found in Jesus Christ, and that is only because he shed his blood, and it's by repentance and faith. They won't say that. They speak of good works. That's the religion of Cain. And they do not proclaim a salvation through the cross of Jesus Christ. That's not popular. And you know, Christianity never has been popular. Do any of you watch HGTV on TV? Okay? A lot of people do. It's one of the most popular channels. Home and Garden Television. And they've got all kind of shows on there. One of those shows on there is a show, I can't even remember the name of it, Flip or Flop. And the host of that show are a husband and wife who live in Waco, Texas. That show is a very, very popular show. Is that the name of the show? Fixer Upper. I don't know what the name of it is. There's several of them on there. But anyway, yeah, the Gaines family. They have come under real attack just in the last couple of weeks because they go to a mega church down there in Waco area that has a pastor that, thank God that he does take a stand on this. He has publicly come out and said that that biblical marriage is between a man and a woman. He said that. Thank God for it. And so now that church is known as an anti-gay church. And because this very popular couple on TV, who, by the way, are very vocal in their testimony that they are saved and love the Lord on their TV show, they have come under real attack because they attend that church. And the LGBT community is really pressuring HGTV to get rid of them because they go to an anti-gay church. It is so bad that even some of the other liberal media have come out and said about the liberal media that attacked them, they went over the line this time in attacking them. But see, here's what I'm saying. You take a stand for Jesus Christ, you're not going to be the most popular person around. And Christians that take a stand upon the written word of God, hey, you might face persecution, you might face ridicule. You know, I mean, if that's all we ever face, then we're a whole lot better off than a lot of the world, right? But the apostates don't like what the Bible has to say. And you and I that stand upon the word of God and say, well, I believe that because the Bible says that. It's not ever going to be popular, but it's always going to be right. Between Cain and Abel, obviously Cain didn't like what Abel did to the point that he killed him. But what Abel did was right. And the Bible says, by it, he being dead yet speaketh. Those guys lived thousands of years ago. Probably around 5,800 years ago, something like that. 5,800 years ago is when Abel died. He lived, he died. But yet, 5,800 years later in the future, here we are studying about his faith. And his faith still speaks volumes to us today. Let's look at the procurement by faith. That means the obtainment. That means he obtained faith. The Bible says, it says by which, back to Hebrews 4:11-4, by which he obtained or procured, that was the word I used a while ago, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Now this is very, very important there. The words translated obtained witness here, that's the same words as translated obtained a good report in verse number 2. Abel procured or obtained witness by faith, a testimony that he was righteous. The fourth person to ever live on planet Earth has a testimony even to this day that he was righteous. And you know what's real exciting? You know who's the one that said that he was? That testified that he was? None other but God himself. So if God said Abel was righteous, then you and I can say that man was righteous. He obtained witness that he was righteous. The obtainment of being righteous means that Abel was saved. Because you are not righteous until you come to the Lord Jesus Christ by repentance and faith and get saved. Because being righteous is only possible through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not possible any other way. And God said he was righteous. That means that he was saved. That means that he came through repentance and faith by putting his faith in the fact that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, one day would come and shed his blood. I don't know that he knew all the details about that, but he knew enough that he acted upon what God had said, and he did that by faith, and God said that he was righteous. Look at Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10. How does a man become righteous? How is that possible? Isaiah 61, 10 tells us how it's possible. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse number 10 says this, Isaiah 61:10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. The robe of righteousness. When you and I come by repentance and faith through the Lord Jesus Christ, God places upon us that robe of righteousness. And when God sees us, he sees the robe of righteousness, which is only possible through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Mark chapter 8, verse 6, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The Bible says in Isaiah 64, 6, we are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses, that's a hard word to say, are as filthy rags. So God said Abel was righteous. And the Bible says all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So we know that Abel was not depending on his own righteousness. If God said he's righteous, he was righteous because he was clothed with the robe of righteousness, which is only made possible through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, Romans 3:22, the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. So the robe of righteousness is only possible through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we know that Abel was saved. Now, we are what we call dispensationalists. Dispensationalists mean that we believe there were different dispensations of time. About seven, by the way, seven is the number of perfection. You can go back through and look at these. We're not preaching on that right now, but there were different time periods when God dealt with man in different ways. But there's always only been one way to be saved. There was not a different plan of salvation for every dispensation. The first two children that were ever born, they understood obviously that salvation is by faith. And by faith in the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, they understood that. They had to understand that because God said Abel was righteous. And we're only righteous by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that only is possible when we believe in Him as our personal Savior. So Abel was saved. So from the very first dispensation until all the way through the dispensations, there's only been one way to be saved. Another very important thing about dispensationalists is that we believe the Bible is to be interpreted literally. We don't try to explain it away allegorically or metaphorically. We believe that it means what it says. We believe God wrote down what He said and He meant what He said, and we believe it. And so we are called dispensationalists. So in this very first dispensation, as far back as you can go, they understood that salvation was in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They understood that. And they had to understand that because God had to explain it to them. Cain and Abel both had to know that. How did Abel know it and Cain didn't? They both knew it. They both knew it because obviously God had laid that foundation down and had explained to Adam and Eve about the shedding of blood and the clothing with skins. They had told their boys about that. And the very first two, one said, I'm going to do it my way. One said, I'm going to do it God's way. And the one that said, I'm going to do it my way, God rejected that. When people stand before God one of these days and they say, God, I did it my way, God's going to reject that. And they'll be cast into the lake of fire forever, ever, forever and ever and ever and ever. The only way you're going to be saved is by doing it God's way. Is by faith. Putting your faith in the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross. And He shed His blood. And He was buried. And He rose again. And He lives in heaven today. And if we'll simply come to Him by repentance and faith and trust Him as our Savior, we can be saved. Last month we had a little over 400 of our messages listened to from around the world. Many states, many countries. I was looking down through the list of the countries, and man, I don't know who in those countries are downloading our messages, but this message that I'm preaching right now will not only be preached here, but it will be preached literally. People around the world will listen to this. And those people need to understand the only way to be saved is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Not through any denomination, baptism. We've talked about tithing. You could tithe all your life. You could give God 10% all your life. And if you don't trust Christ as your Savior, you won't go to heaven. Because it's all through the blood of Christ. All through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So Abel's sacrifice acknowledged this great truth, that the obtaining of righteousness for salvation comes through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Abel sacrificed by faith. Therefore it was by faith that he obtained witness that he was righteous. We will see Abel one day in heaven. We won't ever see Cain. I'm not ever going to see him because I'm not going to that place. I heard a preacher say one time that he could swing over hell on a spider web and not have to worry about it breaking because he was saved. I heard a preacher say this, the only thing I'm ever going to know about hell is what I read in the Bible because I'm not going there. Amen. Faith. Salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Abel understood that. I think Cain understood that too, but Cain rejected what God said, and therefore God rejected him. I hope that you, if you have never placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I hope that you will do that before it's too late. Let's all stand if you would. Salvation is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And salvation is made possible by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only way, and Abel understood that. And therefore God said that Abel was righteous. He obtained witness. He obtained that good report. Almost 5,800 years ago, he understood that. You need to understand that, and I need to understand that. We need to understand that that's the only way for people to get saved. If you have trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, praise the Lord. But there's a lot of other people that haven't. And so you and I need to make an on-purpose effort on a daily basis to make sure we are letting those who don't know that's the only way to be saved. Carry little gospel tracts with you. Use every opportunity you have to give a witness about the fact that salvation is in a person, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us the book of Hebrews, and thank you for letting us know that Abel understood that almost 6,000 years ago. Way back in that first dispensation, Abel understood that salvation was in a sacrificial offering that involved the shedding of blood. We thank you, Lord, that you have written that down for us, and we thank you that you have convinced our hearts of that, and that we too have trusted Christ as our Savior. If there's anyone here today that is not saved, have never placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I pray they do that today. If there are those listening that never have, we pray that they would understand that this, and that they would trust Christ as their Savior. Help us to let everyone we come in contact know that salvation is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As Miss Vicki plays, maybe God spoke to your heart this morning about something. Maybe you learned something this morning. I hope you did. Maybe God just challenged you again that most of the world doesn't even know what, in 2016, doesn't even know what Abel knew 5,800 years ago. And when we understand that, that will challenge us. We've got to do a better job in letting people know the truth of the Word of God. Is there anyone here? Everybody's heads bowed and eyes closed. Is there anyone here today that say, Pastor, I don't even know for sure that I'm saved. I'm not positive about that. Please pray for me. Anybody like that? As Miss Vicki plays, you just take this time and just do business with the Lord. Father, once again, we thank you for all your blessings. Thank you for giving us a nice place where we can come and learn from the Word of God. We pray, God, that you would use us this week to point someone to Christ. We pray for those that are working this morning and couldn't be here. We pray for those that are not feeling well. We pray that you'd touch their bodies. And God, just dismiss us with thy blessings and bring us back safely in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget now, we'll meet tonight at 6 o'clock on Wednesday night for our regular 6 o'clock. And then we'll have our Christmas fellowship at 4:30 this coming Saturday.